Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie, Sky and Telescope's executive editor, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see overhead in February. You don't need a telescope to enjoy the beautiful winter sky. Just bundle up very warmly, don't forget your head and feet, and come along with me. Plan to stay out for at least a half an hour to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. Even after 10 minutes, you'll see far more stars than when you first stepped outside. We'll be checking out the evening sky, and there's a special treat in the last half of this month. But first, let me draw your attention to what's happening before daybreak, where Venus and Jupiter are really putting on a show. Find a spot with a clear shot to the east, and start looking about an hour before sunrise. Venus is unmistakable, a stunning beacon. You might think it's a jet on final approach, except that it doesn't move. Day by day, dimmer Jupiter scoots a little higher to the upper right of Venus. Okay, back to our evening sky feast, and what a scrumptious feast it is. Let's start by facing south as night falls. To find south, by the way, note where the sun sets and then take a quarter turn to the left. Striding across the heavens, well above the horizon, is mighty Orion the Hunter. He's unmistakable, with three stars in a tight diagonal row marking his belt, surrounded by a tall, boxy quartet of bright stars to frame his torso. Now I want to show you something I just stumbled on while preparing this podcast. Orion's left shoulder is marked by the red supergiant star Betelgeuse. Now you'd never guess it, because it's 428 light-years away. But Betelgeuse is one of the brightest stars known. If you swapped it for our Sun, its surface would be somewhere between Mars and Jupiter, and Earth digested into star stuff. Now clench your fist and stick out your arm. Two fists above Betelgeuse, not quite to overhead, is an even brighter star. That's actually the planet Mars. And two fists to its lower right, making an equal-sided triangle with Mars and Betelgeuse, is another red giant star, Aldebaran, the angry eye of the bull Taurus. Look closely. All three have a reddish tinge that sets them apart subtly from the stars around them. This tight triad stays together throughout the month, but watch. Mars will lose half its brightness by the time leap day rolls around. In fact, Mars has been getting a little dimmer since New Year's. But another planet, Saturn, will be soon taking its place. Now, there's a bunch of bright baubles in the evening sky, and Saturn isn't nearly the brightest, so here's how to find it. Be outside at roughly 8 o'clock. Draw a line through Orion's belt to the lower left. A couple of fists away is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky. Now, we're going to swing well over to the left of Sirius, and to make this jump, stretch out both arms, spread your fingers as wide apart as you can, and just touch your thumbs. Put your right pinky finger on Sirius, and your left pinky will be pointing right at Saturn. Get used to seeing Saturn, because it'll be with us for a while. On the 23rd, the planet reaches what astronomers call opposition, meaning it's opposite the Sun in the sky. It rises when the Sun sets, stays up all night, and sets at dawn. Watch Saturn week by week, and you'll see that it gets a little higher up as the sky gets dark. Now let's get to the month's main attraction. February features not one, but two eclipses. The first is an annular, or ring, eclipse of the Sun on the 7th. Solar eclipses occur when the Moon passes directly between the Earth and Sun. In this case, what will be left is a thin ring of Sun in the sky. But you'd have to traverse a frozen corner of Antarctica or the southern waters of the Pacific Ocean to see it. You can think of the other eclipse as the stargazing event of the year. It's a total lunar eclipse, when Earth is between the Moon and Sun, and Earth's shadow falls on the Moon. This lunar eclipse is visible in its entirety across Europe and Western Africa on the morning of the 21st, but here in the Americas it takes place on the evening of Wednesday, February 20th. Look for the full Moon to begin sliding into the blackest part of the shadow, the umbra, at 8:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can just change the time zone to match your location, 7:43 Central, and so forth. Totality strikes at 10 p.m. Eastern, and for 52 minutes the Moon is engulfed in shadow before beginning its escape. Watch for subtle colors during totality, deep smoldering reds, yellows, and maybe even tinges of green or blue. This is the third total lunar eclipse in about a year, so if you've missed the other two, don't miss this one. Several partials are coming up, but after this eclipse, there won't be another total eclipse of the moon until late 2010. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll introduce you to twin brothers who've really made a name for themselves in the sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.